But what saith it? What saith the scripture? The word is where? It's right next to you, even in your mouth. And it's in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. You may not realize it, but you bringing your kids to church, you sitting there in church having somebody preach and warn and quote the scripture and remind you of the scripture is the best thing you could ever have on a Sunday. Because it puts into your heart a seed that you one day you'll go, I got it. I get it. And John and Paul is saying, you probably have heard this over and over and over. It's right on the tip of your tongue and you're not saved yet. Verse 9. What is it I've got to believe? What is this got to come out of my mouth? Look at verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Next three words, say it real loud. Thou shalt be saved. Next four words. For with the heart man believeth unto. Abraham got righteous because he believed, didn't he? With the heart, man believeth on the righteous. With the mouth, confession is made all the way to salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Summary, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, you probably missed it. But the answer of what sends a person to hell is right before you. Number one, it's not because of any particular sin. Oh, I committed adultery. That'll send me straight to hell. Nope. Did you know David committed adultery and he covered it up with a murder and yet he's in heaven today? A particular sin doesn't separate you forever in hell. Did you know Moses murdered a man and he's in heaven today? Did you know Peter cursed the very name of Jesus on the very night that Jesus was betrayed and was about to be crucified the next morning, and yet Peter's in heaven? You see, it's not the particular sin that all of a sudden, oh, that's the anchor, that's going to send me to hell. Not at all. A specific sin does not send a person to hell. Listen to Romans 10:13 again. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let me say it this way. Anything you do besides believe what Jesus did for you will send you to hell. If you do not cry out and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to save you, no matter what you do, anything you do besides that is going to send you to hell. That's what sends people to hell. Give loads of money to the poor, it'll send you to hell as fast as a bullet. You pray 1,000 Hail Marys a day, it'll damn you as fast as adultery. Walk around the Cove Calique Cathedral 3 times every Saturday evening on your knees. It will drag you straight to the devil's hell like a wife-beating drunkard. Get baptized, catechized, homogenized, pasteurized, and you'll still be lost on your way to hell in your sins. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, that may be rough for you to take in. And anything, but the truth is, anything you do beside believe that Jesus is enough, beside believe that he's waiting to save you, beside believe that he's alive, anything you do, no matter how good, no matter how long, no matter how well-intentioned, you're still, it's sending you to hell. That's the gospel truth. You know what I'm talking about? Self-righteousness. You know why people don't get saved? Because they don't need God. People will try and they'll find God through religion and they get satisfaction out of doing religious things. You're wasting your time. You went to a church instead of to God. Amen? Some people, they'll talk all day and all night to Mary. You're talking to the wrong person. Talk to Jesus Christ. Amen? You see, the devil has a way. He doesn't care that you're looking for God. Doesn't care that you want to be religious. He just does not want you to believe on one person and get born again by him. Man or woman goes to hell because they stood up to God all their life and said, I'm okay. I'm good enough. I don't need the Bible. I don't need a savior. I'm as good as I need to be. And that better be enough or else I don't want you, God. That's what sends people to hell. You see, good and self-righteous people don't need a savior. Guess what? I do. the best thing I ever concluded, the smartest thing I ever came to and understood was, I'm a sinner. I'm separate from God. I need a Savior. Amen? Let me tell you about the smug attitude of a happy sinner. You see, people refuse to believe the gospel because they can't imagine God sending a person like them to hell. They said, well, I wouldn't send anybody to hell. I have found that lost people, damned people, think they're more moral than God. They think they're better and kinder than God. That they're more tolerant of sin than God is. And they think that heaven will be just fine with people like them in it. So self-righteous people going around saying, God, since I wouldn't send people to hell and you would, I'm morally better than God. That's the attitude of the lost. That's why old Christopher Hitchens there, he's always said this. I listened to him. He says, I'm more righteous than God because I don't hate people. I don't send people to hell. I'm morally superior to the God of the Bible. That's what Christopher Hitchens says. Oh, Richard Dawkins will say, I'm more moral than God because I would never allow children to be abused. I would never allow this, and I would never send anybody to hell. You know what they're doing? They're setting themselves up saying, I'm more moral than God. I am good by my own standard. That sends you straight to hell because you think you can compete with the creator of this universe on morality. Take your Bible, go to Romans 1:8. Hold on here. Romans 1:18, sorry, back to 1:18. Romans 1:18. Yeah. You know, when Paul starts off in Romans, he doesn't talk about the love of God, the grace of God, the kindness of God, the will of God. He only talks about the wrath of God. Look what he says, 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against how much ungodliness? Against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Go down to verse 32. Speaking of those people who, they got the truth, but they rejected, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of judgment, of death, they not only do the same things, but have pleasure in them that do them, pleasure in them that sin. That's what your television is. Every night you're watching that thing. You're having pleasure. You have pleasure watching people sin. And there's a heart, there's a part of you that's numb probably by now. You've burned out the conscience that used to say, that's not right. Because you know God's going to judge that sin. Look in chapter 2 and verse 2. Just a few verses down, Romans 2, verse 2. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. All the things that are listed there in chapter 1. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judges them which do such things? You think you're better? And yet you do the same? Do you really believe that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? That's what he's saying. Go to chapter 2, verse 5. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, that's a unrepentant heart. I've had people say, there's no repentance in Romans. You just read it. After thy hardness and impenitent heart, you've treasured up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, the day of judgment, and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Romans 6:23, last one here. Romans 6:23. Just the first part says this, for the wages of sin is death. So let me tell you what happens when people stand before God at the moment of their death. Hebrews 9:27 says this, as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. God's going to ask you, if you're one of those, did you know about my son? And the sinner's going to respond, oh, yes. Did you know that he was righteous? And the sinner will reply, oh, yes. And God will say, did you hear that you had to ask him to forgive your sins and not some priest? Oh, yes, yes, yes. Why didn't you ask him? Well, I figured I had to try and be good. And so God will respond, were you good? And the sinner will respond, well, now that you mention it, no. Then God's going to say, then why didn't you believe on my son? And the sinner will reply, but God, I didn't want to be like those hypocrites down at those churches. And God will respond, was my son a hypocrite? And the sinner will reply, well, no. God will say, then why didn't you receive him? And there will be silence before God says, depart from me, cursed everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I read the testimony of a soul winner who witnessed to a man who claimed to have been saved at one time. The man was sitting on the front porch of his house in his T-shirt, smoking a cigarette, drinking a beer, watching a baseball game on his TV on a summer afternoon. The soul winner got to talking to him about a half an hour, and he finally got to ask him, was he born again? The man responded, well, I used to be. Oh, I had the gift of tongues, and I got real religious and all that, but I ain't saved no longer. I guess I'm going to hell. Soul winner replied, well, only unsaved people go to hell. Did you get saved? The man replied, well, I believe a fellow ought to live it. He shouldn't sin if he wants to go to heaven. And the soul winner said, I didn't ask you if you sin or not. I asked, did you get saved? Well, I thought I did. I just can't live it, though. I can't keep from sinning. And the soul winner pushed and said, do you realize that if you don't get saved, you're going to be lost forever without hope, burning in hell? Is that what you want? Well, man said, well, when I can get to where I can live it, that's when I'm going to get saved for sure. And the soul winner was shocked and said, are you living it right now? No. Did you live it before? No. Well, what makes you think you're going to be able to live it one day? Well, I think that just someday I'll be able to live it and be good, but not today. And he turned away from that soul winner and went right back to drinking his beer and watching his baseball game. And that man probably lived out the rest of his days and died and went to hell. Why? Because he thought he had to be good living and holy and not sin in order to earn heaven, when all he had to do was ask and be saved. You understand the difference here? I'm not for anybody being a hypocrite. I'm not, and the Bible doesn't say that you can live any way you want and live ungodly and live like the world and not receive the chastening hand of the Lord. But none of that gets you to heaven. Amen? None of that's the hallmark of whether you're saved or not. You know what does get you saved? Let's go back there to Romans chapter 10, verse 8, and let's look at it again. Romans chapter 10, verse 8, there are three words here I want you to see, and they all work at one time. They all are three things happening at once, and they save any and every sinner. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of what? You know, you read the Old Testament, you might get the idea there's a lot of works in the Old Testament, wasn't there? Do this, don't go there, don't eat this, don't do that on that day. A lot of works. But you know what saves you? The word of faith. Let's keep going. Even thy mouth and thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt, here's your first word, circle that word, confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Second word, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between Jew or the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that, here's your third word, that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The word, it's not a priest that can save you, not a church that can save you. It's not a work that you can save you. It's a word that will save you. It's a word that you believe. Romans 10, there, verse 9 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth. Now, that doesn't talk about going to some priest, but to Almighty God. If you would just one time in your life not talk to the statue, not talk to the candles, not talk to the priest or the preacher, but talk to God. If you just do that once, and you would be able to confess the Lord Jesus. You know, I've known people who've in church, while the preacher was going on, they dropped to their knees and they began to cry and weep and say, God, have mercy on me. Oh, God, have mercy. That's confession. You know what you need to confess? You need to confess you're guilty as charged. You stand before a judge. The judge says, bring out the evidence. And he starts to go through all the things that you've done, you've been brought before court for. And he goes through item one, item two. You know what the criminal, you know what he's wanting to know? He wants to know, do you agree? Are you able to defend any of these actions? And you know what a sinner does when we stand before God? We agree that we're criminals, we're lost, we're sinners, and we confess it. I'm guilty. That's a good attitude. That's where it begins, folks. When you finally just go, you win, God. That's when you're about ready to be saved. Jesus said, if you want to win things, lose. If you want to be wealthy, give it all away. It's the opposite. If I want to get to heaven, admit you're going to hell. Accept the fact that you deserve God's judgment. Now, God doesn't want you to confess every sin. Good night, man. You can't remember two sins you did yesterday, much less last week or last month. So this is not a thing, oh, I got to confess all my sin. Are you kidding me? God didn't want you to try to remember everything you've done wrong. The devil does that. You know what God wants you to admit? I have done wrong. I am wrong. Paul is compelling people to confess they're guilty and they're breaking God's laws over and over and over again. It's good to be sorrowful about your sinfulness. Confession, agreeing that you're guilty, and not just to Jesus, but what's his title? Lord Jesus. That word Lord instills fear and respect for the one who has the power to cast you into hell. You know what you say when you're before a judge? You know what you say? Your Honor. You ever think of that? Why do you talk that way when you talk bad mouth and going into the court? But as soon as you're standing for him, oh, Your Honor, why do you do that? Because you fear him, because there's respect there. In a moment, he can say, guilty. He's now going to court, prison, or whatever. And you know, when you talk to Jesus Christ, you better have that respect where you say, Lord Jesus. If you can come to that part where you say, you're not the boss anymore of your life, your wife's not the boss, your kids aren't the boss, your boss isn't the boss, he is Lord. And do it publicly. You know, it needs to be public. We got enough Christians. You know why the queers have come out of the closet? Because Christians went in. We've gone into hiding. We've gone dark. We've gone quiet. So wickedness is out in the open. We need to come out again. We need to be able to say, I'm following Jesus. I'm not doing. There ought to be no question about how you're going to vote this next week. There ought to have been no question about how you're going to vote on same-sex marriage as a Christian. There ought to be no question about how you should have voted for all of these stupid things that were being brought in through to change our culture. I'm a Bible believer. I'm a Christian. I know what to vote because my life is now out. I'm not worried about what people think. I'm worried about what he thinks, and I confess it openly. I belong to him. Secondly, believe. Verse 9 says that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now that's cool. Now this isn't another step. You don't go, well, I've confessed and now I believe. Not at all. It's all together. It's at the same time. Belief is something you do with your heart. Is what coming out of your mouth, did it come from your heart or did it just come because somebody's expecting you to say it? You may stand in front of the preacher and say, oh, pastor, I believe in Jesus. Is it coming from your heart? Or are you just saying it because that's what I want to hear? Anyone can say, I believe in Christ. Did you know the devils do that? Knowing something is what you do with your head. Believing something is what you do with your heart. And this is not religious belief or make-believe. It is a belief where you totally depend upon the God who wrote the Bible for his mercy. When you have faith, you have childlike faith. I can't tell you how hard it is in this day and age to get people saved. You know why? Because they want to understand it all. They want to figure God out. They want to understand, well, where was God here? You know what you need? Childlike faith. You need to say, you know, that empty tomb, that's enough to convince me he's alive. That Bible and all the promises and the prophecies there, I don't understand it all. I hear I got a lot of confusion about it, but that Bible proves itself over and over. It's true. Only God could write that thing. I believe like a child that Jesus died for me. That's saving belief. 1 Corinthians 15. Hold your place here in Romans. We'll go to 1 Corinthians. We'll leave Romans for a minute. We'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Does a person have to be saved? All right, you got to confess you're guilty. Believe on Christ. Well, what about Christ? That he's alive? I wonder if on Monday morning anybody could tell whether you have worshiped a living or a dead Savior on Sunday. I wonder if on Monday morning Jesus is alive in your life or whether he's dead. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 1 says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the," what is it? "Which I have preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved." There's that word again. "If ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." So if you want to be saved, you need to believe that Jesus is alive. That one man, a perfect man, died for your sins, was dead and buried for 3 days, and that God resurrected that dead man back to life, never to die again. I read this. Somebody said this. Death proved that Jesus was human, but the resurrection proved that he was God. Amen. So you got this perfect being who is the God-man, and he died for us. And that news that the Messiah had died, instead of destroying his enemy, he died for him. Hallelujah. You let that sink in. You'll run to Jesus Christ right now when you realize, instead of Jesus Christ coming back as the Jewish Messiah they wanted to come in and destroy the enemies, Jesus came to die for them. And when he died, he rose again. And that was the news that was preached all over, that Jesus is alive. Look in verse 17, 1 Corinthians 15, 17. Think about it. If Christ be not raised, our religion, our faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. What saves a person, frees them from their sin? A living Savior. Secondly, you believe that he alone can save your soul and make you righteous. I mean, you think about it. What are you believing? He's enough. That he's enough. You know, Romans 10, go back to Romans 10. Back to the left, Romans 10 and verse 14. We looked at this a couple of weeks back. Romans 10:4. "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." You know what people do with the lottery? They put their money down at the shop believing that they'll win. They'll invest their money in a chance, don't they? Hoping to get lots of money. You know, that's a chance. 99.9999%, you just gave away your money, folks. But if you invest your faith in Jesus Christ, guess what you'll win? Eternal life. You see, both of them are a chance. I'm not in control of my salvation, but I can't. There is no reason to put such a risk out and put money out like they do every week, when I can just put it all on Jesus Christ and my simple childlike faith. And if I believe Christ, he will save. Chapter 10, Romans chapter 10 and verse 12 and verse 13. "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that," here's our word, "call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The third thing is to call or ask Jesus to save you. This is not confess, believe, and call. You don't have to do this in sequence. It's all happening at once. To call upon the Lord is to pray and ask to be saved. Some people actually don't believe you have to pray and ask. I think that's a crazy thing. Go to Luke chapter 18. Luke 18 and verse 10. Luke chapter 18 and verse 10. 18:10, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Now, if you get the picture, Jesus is describing two extremes, a Pharisee, very holy man, very righteously living guy who's trying to keep all the law, and another man who's a publican who sold out his nationality, who is working for the Romans, and he's taking advantage of his own people. He's a thief. He has no life except what he lives for himself. And these two end up going to the temple to pray. Verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers. I'm glad I'm not like this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Can you imagine listening to that guy? There he is praying like that. Verse 13, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast. And he doesn't just say believe. What does it say? What's the next word? Saying. Something's come out of his mouth. Saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, pardoned, forgiven rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, brought to the bottom. But he that humbleth himself is going to be exalted. That tax collector got saved simply because he believed and he humbled himself enough to ask God to have mercy on him. And he received it. Go to chapter 23, Luke 23 and 39. Luke 23, 39. Luke 23, 39, one of the malefactors, we'd say the word criminal, which were hanged alongside Jesus, railed on him, yelled at him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other criminal, answering back, he rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly question, what did that thief just do? He confessed, I'm guilty. I deserve to die. I'm going to die, and I'm not fighting it anymore because it is over for me. I've been caught so many times, and the Romans are making an example of me and all that stuff, and I'm not screaming for justice when I'm getting justice. He says, we indeed are condemned justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man, speaking of Jesus, hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. What was he believing? Jesus, yeah, he's going to die, but he's not going to stay dead. And you're going into your kingdom. Can you get me in? What is the thief doing? He's asking. Verse 43, and Jesus said back unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Psalm 18:3 says, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from my enemies. Psalm 55:16 says, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Psalm 116:13 says, I will take the cup of salvation, this is David, and call upon the name of the Lord. I'll say something. I will ask. You know why most people don't ever grow in their Christian life? Why they just live miserably? Because they don't talk to God. And there are people who are this close to getting saved, and you know what they won't do? They won't ask. James says it this way, you have not because you ask not. You say, but I have to live it. No, you don't. Well, I got to put away these sins. No, you don't. Well, I got to get my life right. I got to get my family right. I got to get my head right. No, you don't. None of that can be done humanly. What you need is Jesus Christ. He will step in and he will make you right. You won't be perfect. Your family will look at you and says, what got into you? And it's Jesus Christ. They're not going to let you go, oh, he became perfect. Not at all. But you'll be forgiven. There's a different way we live now. Call. You know what's amazing? When it says there, go back to Romans 10:13 and we're done. Romans 10:13. I wonder if it says that you need to call. I wonder who can call. Is it limited to all the good people, or only they the ones that can be saved? Is it good to all the religious people? I, growing up, I probably, up until I was 17 years old, I probably went to church a total of, that I remember, 30 times. I didn't accumulate any points with God with that. And most of the time when I was a kid, it was to go to sleep on my mom's lap. I wasn't really there. You know, this invitation is not written to good people, religious people, or holy people. You know who it's written to? Look at verse 10, 13. Whosoever, exactly. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is no one alive here in this gospel right now who cannot be saved. You might tell me, you might come up and say, Pastor, you have no idea where I've been, what I've been involved in, what I'm stuck in, and what I struggle with. You know what? Jesus sat down with the worst and he changed their life because there is nothing impossible with God. Just understand, he'll take you if you will take him. If you would just confess, believe, and ask all at once, I wonder what would happen. We just read it there. Thou shalt be saved. I don't think there's any greater achievement. You may be 20 years old, right in this room, sitting there going, I hope to work in a IT company. I hope to become successful with Bitcoin. You may think all these dreams of how you can be successful and accomplish great things. The greatest accomplishment you can ever do is to be born again. Do you know, I'm going to talk to moms next week. Do you know, ladies, your greatest accomplishment in life is not your children. Although you're going to invest in them, and I know you love them, and you will give your life for them, but they are not your greatest accomplishment. Your greatest accomplishment is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and follow him, because he will save and he will carry you when your kids won't, when your husband won't, and when your church can't. Listen, there's no greater accomplishment than being born again. Israel struggled with this throughout their history. They couldn't believe that you can be forgiven, justified, made free, made righteous, redeemed, born again all at once just by faith. All they worried about was, am I righteous enough? Am I different enough? Am I holy enough? Am I doing enough? And they missed Christ. And don't you follow that pattern. You say, it can't be that easy. Thank God it is that simple. You know, there's no way that whosoever could mean whosoever if it wasn't simple. Amen? 6 years or 96 years, whosoever can be saved. The question is, what are you relying on to keep you out of hell? Huh, that's a good question. You going to rely on yourself? You're going to rely on your religion, your wit, your popularity, your millions, or will you rely from now on Jesus Christ? Do you know what gets a sinful man or a sinful woman straight into heaven? Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ enough to trust him with your soul, to trust him with your life. Believing he's enough to declare you righteous if you just ask him to. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. You know how you get a gift? You receive it. You say, I accept. And most people, what does the Bible say? It's right on the tip of your tongue. Some of you, it's even in your heart, but you've never believed it. And what an awful pastor I would be if I didn't warn you. You go out of this door, you get in your car, and we may never see you again. You could step off into eternity. Today is the day to get saved. Today is to decide, the only thing that's going to keep me in hell is Jesus. I'm getting Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, man. Will you believe that he is enough? You say, Pastor, can it really be true that he is enough? That I won't ever have to live up to, and I can fail. Yes, because he never fails. So, will you believe? I wonder if there's one person in here who'd say, you know, I struggled with this all my life. I've gone to church and I quit. I've tried to believe all the prayers and I gave up. I've tried to be good and I've tried to name all the sins. I tried to confess them all, and I went right back. I am tired of religion, but my heart tells me I'm still in trouble, and I don't know what to do. Now you do. We're going to bow our heads in prayer in just a minute. Why don't you be the one that says, God, be merciful to me and save me. God, would you take me into your kingdom? God, would you give me a well of living water? Would you save a wretch like me? Let's stand, let's bow in prayer. With every head bowed, every eye closed. I know this could be a distraction. I know you could be thinking about leaving. Don't you do that, because that's exactly what the devil wants. What I'm asking you right now is to think for a moment, are you saved? If I asked you, are you saved, would you just look at me and go, I don't even know what that means? That does not mean, are you a good person? It asks, have you believed, confessed, and asked, called upon the name of the Lord? That's all together. It's like three different angles on the same thing of the heart crying out, saying, I'm guilty. Would you forgive me? Would you cleanse me? Would you make me your child? Lord Jesus, save me now. I can't give you the words to pray. I can only just lay them out there and just say, just ask. With every head bowed, every eye closed. If you've asked, if you remember that day when glory stepped down into your soul, you ought to remember the tug of war that was going on and the fight that was going on with self-righteousness and with your self-sufficiency, and you decided it's not worth it to keep fighting. Why would I fight the one who loves me unconditionally? So I receive him now. And if you would just look back on that and just thrill and just realize there's somebody in here that's struggling, would you pray, Lord, please move in their hearts, help somebody get saved. And in this room, God, there's enough soul winners who could turn this world upside down if we would just take this message. I kind of go through everything, but it's simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's that simple. We need to tell somebody this week. We need to tell somebody every week. Make us into soul winners if we're saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Grab your hymnal, would you?